Good evening and welcome to Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley, and tonight's show is the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 7. We're going to be covering the 1970s and 1980s. And after the Bag People left, the jazz scene in St. Louis collapsed, and it really went through a dark time. And we had in the 1980s the beginnings of a rebirth of that scene. During this period, college and high school jazz programs began. And in 1972, Charlie Manese brought a traditional jazz and swing program to KWMU. That program, of course, is the ancestor of Jazz Unlimited. And please join me tonight for the music of Jazzmen, the Kenny Rice Richard Martin Quintet, and others, following NPR News. I'm Dennis Owsley, and before we begin Part 7 of the Jazz History of St. Louis, we have to thank Jim Wallace, Charlie Manese, Paul DeMarinis, Carol Schmidt, Michelle Isom, Kelvin Bill, Willie Akins, Tom Barkley, and Kevin Powell. The original Jazz History of St. Louis documentary was funded by a grant from the Missouri Arts Council and was a copyright 1987 KWMU. The 1970s were a pretty dark time for jazz in St. Louis. Scenes at Helen's Black Eagle, La Casa on Jefferson Avenue, Mr. C's at La Cachette in Overland, and the Moose Lounge kind of struggled along. I think that a lot of the reasons for those clubs struggling was the fact that they never learned the value of advertising. Because I remember seeing Carmen McRae at La Casa with an audience of around 10 people. Jazz was also heard at Graham Chapel, Kiel Auditorium and Opera House, at the Mississippi River Festival at SIU Edwardsville, and in the parks of St. Louis during the summer. Most of the recordings made in St. Louis during this period were Dixieland, and I've not been able to find them anywhere. Here's a group associated with the National Ragtime and Traditional Jazz Festival on the Goldenrod Showboat. The Boll Weevil Jazz Band, they're going to be doing Someday Sweetheart. That group is Dan Havens on cornet, Bob Shanahan on trombone, Frank Powers clarinet, Mike Montgomery piano, John Teachout banjo, Dick Remington tuba, and Harry Cooper washboard with Wayne Jones on drums. And then we will also hear Trevor Tichner play Pierce City Rag. Both recordings were made in 1970. As Jazz Unlimited's Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 7, continues.
Those vows you've broken, those things you did that made us drift apart. Oh, you're so happy now that you can see how those weary blues will ever come to you. But as you sow, so shall you reap, babe. And what you reap gonna make you weep someday, sweetheart.
Dennis Owsley, and this is part 7 of the Jazz History of St. Louis on Jazz Unlimited. That was Someday Sweetheart with the Boll Weevil Jazz Band, and Dan Havens of SIU Edwardsville was on cornet. And then we heard Pierce City Rag, played by ragtime pianist and scholar Traber Tischner. Both recordings were made in 1970. And one of the things about Pierce City, Missouri, was that that's where the St. Louis Ragtimers made their first recording. Dixieland bands formed during this time are the Tiger Rag Forever and the Old Guys Jazz Band. Fred Tompkins kept working in New York, and there are recordings using Herb Drury with both Bobby Caldwell and Buddy Emmons that are not available. I don't know if you know this, but there probably wouldn't be any jazz on St. Louis Public Radio if Charlie McManese hadn't accepted an invitation from KWMU to do a Saturday night jazz show. KWMU was strictly a classical music station for many years, with jazz sneaking in at various times. In 1978, Charlie moved to KMOX with a Saturday night jazz show called Jazz Under the Arch and stayed there until his death in 1993. And we're going to hear Charlie tell about getting to KWMU. And then following the station break, we'll hear Stardust by the Singleton Palmer Dixie Six, recorded by KWMU at Bluebird Park in Ellisville in 1978. Leroy Harris, who we heard talking about working with Earl Hines earlier, does the alto and vocal solos.
Well, I was out at McDonnell Douglas then editing company magazine, the employee or company newspaper, and I had a friend, Bob Smith, who was administrative aide to the chancellor, and called me one day, said, "We're going to start a radio station, and would you like to get back on?" Yes, I said I would, so I came down and outlined for them what I wanted to do, and Bob Thomas was brought in here as the first manager, and I started there I think it was July the 1st, 1972, with the first Big Band Bash for 4 hours and then Jazz Freeway for 4 hours. And that was all gratis. Fact is, it cost me because I paid a lot of these young engineers out here to run the turntables for me. I felt so sorry for them. We had good response to that, and I've always given quite a bit of credit to that, to spreading the interest of jazz in St. Louis and getting the word to people that needed the word. The show had a pretty good a rating in the first couple of hours from 5 to 7 in the evening, and that was attributed to the fact that people were listening to those big band records while they were either eating or getting ready to go out for the evening. That was a good time, and that attracted the attention of a couple of the other radio stations in town, including KMOX's Mr. Robert Highland. He saw that figure somewhere. Thank you.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss and inspiration both that was long ago, and now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Be beside a garden wall, when stars were bright, you were in my arms. The nightingale tells its fairy tales of paradise where roses blow. Though I dream in vain, I dream in vain. In my heart it always will remain my stardust melody, a memory of love's refrain.
This is the Jazz History of St. Louis on Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley. That was Stardust by the Singleton Palmer Dixieland Six. And that group was Benny Starks, trumpet, who had been around for a long, long time and actually led a band in Canada for a while. Robert Carter on trombone, Leroy Harris alto and vocal, Gus Berryman piano, Singleton Palmer tuba, and Rick O'Connor on drums. Oliver Sane, while he was mostly rhythm and blues guy, was involved in the jazz musicians' careers, recording Lester Bowie and Fontella Bass in a rhythm and blues context. He recorded Dogon A.D. in his studio and made a few other jazz recordings in St. Louis. But we're going to play him in his element. Here is St. Louis Breakdown by Sane in 1973.
Everybody to get up now. Let's do the St. Louis Breakdown. Come on. Woo! Come on, let's break it down. I want everybody in Chicago. Let's get together and do the St. Louis Breakdown. Everybody in San Francisco. St. Louis.
Dennis Owsley, and this is part 7 of the Jazz History of St. Louis on Jazz Unlimited. That was St. Louis Breakdown with Oliver Sane in 1973. Oliver played tenor, organ, and did the vocal. The Kennedy brothers, Ray on piano and Tom on bass, began long careers both inside and outside of St. Louis in the 70s. Ray was John Pizzarelli's pianist for many years, and Tom was with Steps Ahead for a short time, didn't record with them, though, and other bands throughout his long career. Both are working and teaching in New York today. Drummer Kenny Rice and guitarist Richard Martin worked a lot together. I remember hearing them quite a few times. They made a recording with Nat Adderley on cornet, Freddie Washington on tenor and soprano, and the Kennedy Brothers at SIU Edwardsville in 1977, and here is Work Song from that recording.
Thank you. That's a work song.
That was Work Song with Nat Adderley on cornet, Freddie Washington on tenor, Ray Kennedy on piano, Richard Martin on guitar, and Kenny Rice on drums. I'm Dennis Owsley, and this is part 7 of the jazz history of St. Louis. And we're covering the 70s and 80s tonight. Vocalist Asa Harris has a famous father, Ace. He was a pianist and vocalist. And a famous uncle, Erskine Hawkins. He was a trumpeter and band leader known as the 20th Century Gabriel. She came to St. Louis and worked with Eddie Fritz at the Upstream Lounge before it closed. She left in 1978 and came back in 83 and came back to play with Eddie Fritz at the Breckenridge and other places, led her own trio with Benny Wilson until she left for Chicago. She is now a hospice chaplain in Seattle, and she sang at my late wife's memorial service in 2008. Here she is talking about her career, and we will hear two things from her with the Eddie Fritz group, The Lady is a Tramp and Don't Explain. Both were recorded in 1984. As Jazz Unlimited's Jazz History of St. Louis continues.
Certainly was no lack of music around the house, but they kind of discouraged me. They knew how hard the business was, especially then for people of our persuasion. And they would have rather I did almost anything, but at the same time, they did encourage me once they found out that that seemed to be it. It wasn't just, you know, a fad. It was my first summer out of school, out of college, 66, I think it was. The Blue North, it was called. It was, to be poetic, a mafia club. But the best part about it was that I met a gentleman, well, I pronounce it Pfeiffer, but most people know him as Bernard Pfeiffer, I believe you say, from Alsace-Lorraine in the German-French section of Europe. And the man taught me a great deal. I was the first vocalist he'd had in 15 years, and I had the benefit of all his knowledge and experience. I've been fortunate. As I've sung now for a long time, I've run into some very talented keyboard players, but there aren't too many who can hold a candle to Eddie Fritz. We just seem to have a particular thing between the two of us that I haven't found anywhere else. It was just a song about anybody who hasn't felt too comfortable in their environment, I guess, and everybody can relate to it. I had seen it done on television. I think it was the Goldie Hawn specials. And she had worked so well with the puppet, and there was a lot of feeling, you know, this little green creature sitting there going, ooh, you know. And then it got new meaning again because I had already started doing it. And at that time, through Clint Rayford, I had met some of the Cardinal players that were here on the baseball team. And for some reason, they really latched onto that. That was their tune. When we would see them, we'd had to do it, you know. And it always worked, and it was always the kind of song that if you worked it right, you could get tears.
I get too hungry for dinner at 8. Well, I just love live theater, and I will never go late. I won't be bothered with the people I hate. And that is why this lady is a tramp. Won't go to crap games with barons and earls. I never talk through Harlem in Irvine and Pearls. Won't talk trash with the rest of the girls. And that is why this lady is a tramp. But I like the free, fresh wind in my hair. I live life without care. Stay broke, that's up. Hate California, it's just too cold when it's damp. That is why this lady is a tramp. Do
Hush now, don't explain. Just say you remain. I'm glad you're back. Don't explain. Quiet, don't explain. What is there to gain? Don't cry, don't lie, don't explain. You know that I love you. What my love endures, all my thoughts are of you, for I'm completely yours. It hurts to hear them chatter, they all know you cheat. Right or wrong won't matter if I'm with you. Hush now, don't explain. You're my joy and my pain. My life's yours, love, don't explain. is yours, love. Don't
I'm Dennis Owsley, and we heard Asa Harris on vocal, Eddie Fritz on piano, Steve Schenkel guitar, Dave Engelke bass, and Clint Rayford on drums doing The Lady is a Tramp and Don't Explain. We're going to close the first hour with Pick Yourself Up, done by pianist Pat Joyce, who was just beginning to come into his own in the late 70s and early 80s. Please stay tuned for Hour 2 of the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 7. We will move into the 80s and pay attention to jazz education. We'll hear jazzmen and some University City folks like Jeremy Davenport, Todd Williams, and Peter Martin recorded while they were still in high school. Following the station break.